Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, friends, and we welcome you to the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Dave.
Cameron.
Good morning.
You guys doing well?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm fantastic.
Great.
Yeah, I'm glad to make it to April 15th. But we can talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
Next day.
Okay. Can you start us with a prayer?
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for another day, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings. For all the ways that you are sustaining us, drawing us closer to your heart. Lord, we ask to be docile to that. We ask for our daily bread today to be filled with your Spirit, with your love. That we would do your will in all ways. Help us to see those places that we need to be attentive to our neighbor and to love our neighbor well. Lord, we offer all of the trials and all the joys of this day to you. We lift up all those who have asked for our prayers through the intercession of Mary and in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. April 15th, tax day.
Oh, yep. I was like, what happened this weekend that you're happy that you made it?
I was going to say it implies that Dave wouldn't make it to April 15th, which is a little concerning.
I was like, did something happen? Was there a near-death experience
Jet
going on?
Or...
No, just rendering unto Caesar.
Got it.
Takes a bit out of me. No, what a weekend, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Did you get to spend any of it outside?
I did. It's starting with mowing.
Okay.
Kind of dried out enough on Saturday. And, you know, our neighborhood's just an absolute mess with the construction. So it's like kind of working through the obstacle course of the little utility flags that are all over, you know, the yard. And as I was getting started, there was a guy out there spray painting as well. I'm like, if I mow over the spray paint, is that going to cause problems? Like, well, it could result in a gas leak. And I'm like, well, that would be a problem.
Good to know.
So he's like, if you can, just avoid him. So, yeah. But I'm not the last to mow. In the neighborhood, which is also, you know, a little victory. So
there you go.
How about you guys? Good weekend?
Mine was pretty simple. I had the opportunity to spend some time with a friend outside. I got a hammock, so that's what I did for sure. That was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, just a leisurely fun weekend.
You tie it between two trees?
Yes, of course.
How do you measure that?
Oh, well, since it was a new experience for me, it was some trial and error. At one point, I was sitting on the floor. So, you know, adjustments are needed.
How about you, Cameron?
Yours?
I had a great weekend. I went up to the Diocese of Cleveland on Saturday for their transitional diaconate ordination. My friend Ryan Ardo, now Deacon Ryan Ardo, was ordained to the transitional diaconate. And it was my first time in their cathedral and just a really beautiful experience overall. Two things really struck me that day. The first one being Ryan's smile during the entire mass and in his ordination and everything was about as wide as they come, ear to ear, almost quite literally, you know, just watching a man step into his vocation fully and in love with that vocation was really beautiful. And the second thing that struck me is after communion, before the final blessing in that like little, they had cleaned up the altar and everything. They did like a sequence there almost where they played a hymn that verbatim is based off of the Magnificat by in scripture, Mary's Magnificat. It was arranged by one of their current transitional deacons who's about to be ordained a priest in May. And it was just beautiful. start to finish the entire hymn. And when we finished it, I was like, can we just stay on the refrain like seven more times, please? Nice. It was just absolutely gorgeous. I ran into him afterward, this particular deacon, and thanked him for it and told him how much it struck me. And I was like, is there going to be a recording of it anywhere? Mm-hmm. And he goes, the answer is yes. I just don't know when. So check back in 6 months or something like that. So I'm really excited for it. But I found it in the live stream recording. They have perhaps not as high quality of a recording as one might like, but still a recording of it on their website, the Diocese of Cleveland. Hmm. If you go to the 2.5 hour mass link, it's in the last 15 minutes. So
there you go. Beautiful.
I'd like to listen to that.
I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You have my text. You have my number.
I do. I hope so. And I did the whole trip to Cleveland and back with my friend Shane Bednarik. He's been on the cafe before, and just getting to do a, you know, 2 hour there, 2 hour back road trip with a friend is a wonderful thing as well.
Excellent.
I tried a new soup. That may not be exciting to anyone else in the world, but it was.
What'd you make?
It was a kind of a major impact there in the Osborne household. Well, when you go to a Chinese restaurant, what kind of soup do you usually get?
Egg drop soup, of course. Is that what you made?
Well, it's the Italian version.
Is there an Italian version?
Stracciatella.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it turned out good?
Parmesan cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Egg.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken broth. And a pinch or two of nutmeg.
Interesting.
It takes 10, 15 minutes to prepare. It's so good.
And you're going to bring some in for us?
We could maybe prepare it. Well, can we? I guess we. It's a microwavable. I said we could prepare some here.
I suppose it's the cafe, not lunchtime hour.
Yeah, cafe closes at 9. Shall we look at today's gospel reading?
I'd love to.
So today is Monday, April 15th, the third week in the season of Easter. And today's reading is from John chapter 6, verses 22 to 29.
After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat. But only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks, and when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe the one he sent." Amen.
Amen. You want to start?
Sure. Yeah. So I think what struck me, and I heard a little podcast on this, so I'm going to riff off that a little bit, because I was struck by, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? And so even prior before that, I'm struck by their ardent desire to seek and find Jesus. And it's not like they had cell phones back in the day, obviously, right? And so in order to seek and find someone, you just kind of went and, you know, hoped you found them.
Mm-hmm.
So there does seem to be this ardent desire to find our Lord. But when they find him, he's kind of trying to get them to question their motives for finding him. And he's saying, you know, do not work for food that perishes, but food that endures for eternal life. And so course, here Jesus is trying to prepare their hearts for what he will actually give them, the bread of life. And here they're asking, well, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? And his answer is pretty simple, believe. And it makes me think of the creed that we went over with Dr. Marlon De La Torre. And this assent of belief, it's not just an intellectual, I believe, but really it's an everyday trust and an everyday following and surrender. And so on the surface, it might sound, oh, just believe. But really, what the Lord is asking for here in order to accomplish the works of God is a full-hearted assent and trust, a daily surrender. And yeah, just praying about that today of, okay, and what areas of life? Maybe am I not fully assenting or not fully believing or not fully trusting? And how to overcome that with the Lord's help so as to dive more fully into what he's inviting me to.
I like that. Do I believe in all the promises that Christ has made? And do I really trust, you know, that he'll deliver on them? I've been blessed. I've never really been hungry. If you have seen me, you know I've rarely missed a meal. But how much time do I really spend hungering for the temporal things, you know, whatever it is, you know, security or money or comfort or, and the Lord wants to fill those, you know, desires also, obviously according to his will, but so much more than that, you know, give us the eternal food to fill those spiritual needs that only he can fill. So I think my prayer today is just to yearn more, to hunger more for him, mm-hmm. and believe that he can, you know, fill those desires. Give me more desire for him and for what what only he can provide.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful.
I was struck by Jesus says to them that you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And it kind of prompted me to ask the question, what is Jesus pointing out specifically here? You know, at surface level, you might think that the crowds are looking for him because they just watched him, you know, turn 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough to feed 5,000. Plus some, that was 5,000 men, not even the women and children, right? But he's saying it wasn't that, like, external sign or miracle, but at least what I'm reading into it, it seems to me that he's saying that it's what happened internally. You know, you ate the loaves and were filled. I remember reading a story. Jordan Peterson's wife just came into the Catholic Church at Easter, and I remember reading a story of the interview that he did with EWTN on it, where he said something along the lines of, like, he believes that he sees miracles happen every day, and that we as human creatures are actually usually just too blind to see them. Mm-hmm. And I think what the gospel passage today makes me think of is how often, like, the internal miracle happens, how often Jesus, like, it's not necessarily about the external thing that happened, and those do happen, but actually the internal, like, the conversion of the heart, right? And that's really what happened to the people. And I think what can happen to me when we, you know, receive the Eucharist, which is that eternal life, the bread of eternal life. And so when we get to receive the Eucharist, when we receive God and his word by reading scripture and things like that, that little internal miracle that can happen in each of us, and just praying for that grace when we read the daily gospel, Lord, let this gospel passage transform me. And when we receive the Eucharist, Lord, let this, your body, your blood, your soul, and divinity in this Eucharist transform me. And then paying attention to the little miracle, not letting it like pass by and just be that, you know, moment on Sunday or moment when you read scripture for what it is, but it actually is the word and breath and life of God that has the power to transform us.
Amen. I was looking at the gospel, spoiler alerts coming, for the week. We're spending the entire week in John chapter 6. So we're opening up the teachings on the Eucharist. Let's have Eucharistic revival, you know, real yeah! Eucharistic revival, where we hunger and yearn for this bread. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Katie Rice and Brian O'Donnell are with us here in the cafe this morning. We're going to talk about their engagement and what they've learned about preparing for marriage that goes beyond just planning for a wedding. Stay with us, friends. You're listening to St. Gabriel Cafe.
Heavenly Father, today I pray for our suffering nation, that you would raise up godly leaders with hearts and minds open to your truth. I pray for our government leaders, our military, and our first responders. I beg that in your mercy you would replace division with unity, hatred with love, evil with purity, chaos with peace. Most of all, I pray that the knowledge of your goodness and sovereignty will spread across this nation, setting hearts afire. But I also humbly recognize that I play an important part of that process in the way I treat every person you send my way. Therefore, Lord, open my eyes and heart, and let me not be blinded by my own understanding. When I am tempted to take an us-against-them viewpoint, help me rather to see each person as a precious son or daughter of God. And then, Lord, give me the grace to love that person as you do. You have created me for such a time as this, Lord, and I am ready to do your will. Amen.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of circumspection is seen in Blessed Miguel Pro. He lived circumspection heroically by carefully taking into account circumstances during the anti-Catholic persecution in Mexico. As a priest, he knew people needed the sacraments, reflected on the circumstances, and decided to continue serving. He used his talents to work undercover in creative disguises, continuing to serve until his death as a martyr for the faith. Let us ask Blessed Miguel Pro to pray for us, that we too may grow in circumspection. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I am Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Being physically active seems natural, in fact, almost essential to me. I give thanks for the gift of the physical body, which allows us to move, run, lift, work, and play. In our athletic pursuits, God graces us with others who also find joy in movement. We give thanks for the way in which athletics help us build character and develop an understanding of teamwork. We can intentionally make our physical pursuits a prayerful endeavor, seeking to live our Catholic values on the field and in the gym. Let us shift from our cultural view of fitness, which can place self and aesthetics at the center, and instead offer our health and vitality as a pathway to serve God. In the words of St. John Bosco, health is God's great gift. We must spend it entirely for Him. Our eyes should see only for God. Our feet walk only for Him. Our hands labor for Him alone. Our entire body should serve God.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborn, and we welcome now into the cafe Katie Rice and Brian O'Donnell. Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
You each have been in here individually, but never together.
Yes, it's true.
Right?
That's right. First time.
Nice. Nice. So we're talking about marriage prep, your engagement, maybe some of the differences between planning for a wedding, which really seems to get a lot of attention and bandwidth, versus preparing for actually a good faith-filled marriage. So how did you guys first meet, and when did you meet?
Yeah, so I was out to dinner with a mutual friend, and Brian called while we were at dinner and had asked her to come pray over her boyfriend at the time, now husband. And she said, oh, I'm with Katie Rice. And he's like, oh, tell her to come as well. And so it turns out, you know, upon meeting that we have a lot of, actually Brian is good friends with my cousin and my aunt and uncle. And so there's a lot of overlap behind the scenes, but we had not met yet. And so, yeah, and it was awesome. After meeting Brian about 5 days later, I met a whole group of women, awesome Catholic women, just on fire. And so it was really a blessing in meeting Brian. I met a bunch of other people as well. And so just my whole world opened up to a lot of new friends and community and all of that. So, yeah, it was a great blessing.
Yeah, I remember it was about three times in 1 week that different people had mentioned Katie Rice, and I thought, this is really strange, you know, how come I know all the Rices but I don't know Katie Rice?
You know, and there's a lot of Rices.
Yeah, it's, and then so when my friend had mentioned her again, I thought, all right, just, she's got to come over, we have to, you know, just come over and hang out. And that's what we did, and we just kind of hit it off right away. In some sense, you know. And then I saw her the next day, I think, at St. Catherine's, and I was leaving Mass, and Katie was back there after Mass praying, and I invited her to a book study. So that's how we met.
Nice. Was it a long friendship before there was a courtship, or did you begin courting?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, like, there was, an initial, like, draw towards one another. But then, it's definitely been a long journey of, like, dating on and off. And I think within that, you know, as I look back and reflect, it's like there was definitely, the necessary, like, getting to know one another and life stories, because we're older, you know, than a lot of couples meet when they're younger, in their 20s. And so we come from different life backgrounds and stories and all of that. So I just see how there was definitely that interwoven over that period of dating on and off and doing ministry together. So I would come and help out at the ministry, Urban Encounter on the West Side, and with other people as well. So yeah, it was kind of a different journey in that sense. But so I think there was initial drawn attraction and in a romantic sense, but then kind of a dance within that, if that makes sense. So yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of different prayer groups that we were going to. One was it's called Upper Room.
Yeah.
Up in Powell, Dublin area. And, you know, every time Katie would come, I would get excited, you know, and want to get to know her more. And just kind of went from there, step by step, just in the starts and stops and miscommunications and all of that. So there was definitely a getting to know one another and friendship along with it. So
Brian, you had spent some time discerning religious life as well.
Yeah, I was discerning for 6 years in simple vows, and it's probably about 2 years away from making permanent vows, somewhere around there. And I very clearly heard the Lord say, I want you to think about leaving the community I was with. I didn't know what that meant. And so through a long period of discernment with a spiritual director of about 6 months, I had discerned that it was God was calling me back to Columbus, and I didn't know what that meant necessarily. I was still open to religious life, even discerning the priesthood still, or marriage, really opening up myself to any kind of vocation again. So I moved back with a group of men on near St. Catherine. I had some friends, and we had a men's house, and that really opened my discernment back up. And so I spent a good, I'd say, year just asking God again, you know, where you want me. And then I remember I think somebody, actually one of Katie's friends, gave me this little prayer card. I forget what the, he's a blessed, and on the back it said something about he's a patron for marriages. So that kind of opened my eyes to, well, maybe that vocation could be open to me still. And then, so I started praying, asking God. I did a novena to Saint Therese and said, you know, all right, if I'm supposed to date, it was a very specific novena. And I got an answer that said pretty much, yeah, it's okay. You know, you can do this. And so that really opened me up to saying, all right, maybe there's a girl out there for me. And so that started the process.
Mm-hmm. Brian O'Donnell, Katie Rice here. We're talking about their journey towards marriage here coming up when? Very soon.
Yeah, June 7th.
June 7th.
Yeah, so it's a Friday. It'll be the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What did your discernment look like, Katie?
Yeah, so my journey definitely included a discernment of religious life. I never entered a community, but actually when I was in pharmacy school year 7 of 8 years, I thought, like, I'm called to the convent. Why did I do this? I'm like, I have all this debt. And I was depressed for, like, you know, a couple months, but not really. But so I would go visit communities, come and see weekends. One of the communities that I was extremely drawn to is the Sisters of Life in New York. And I had a spiritual director, a Dominican spiritual director. And so I would meet. And at one point I thought, so basically what it was, I had to start working and pay off my debt. So I started working as a pharmacist at the hospital. And then when I was working, I met with my spiritual director and thought, okay, I think I'm called to marriage and whatever. And he's like, you know, Katie, whatever makes you happy is great. That's what I want. But this is stuck with you a little longer than it has most people. And so I recommend you go on an extended stay with the religious community so that if you do get married and you're having issues in your marriage, you don't go, oh, well, I should have been a nun. You know, have those kind of battles, so really to have a thorough discernment. So, you know, I went and stayed 10 days with the Sisters of Life, and it was amazing. And, you know, just felt like, wow, I have like all these new best friends, but I don't necessarily feel called here. And then honestly, just in all honesty, it's like, then after that, I thought, like, I had no community working in the hospital. I just was like kind of lost. And the sister reached out to me to come to another come and see. So just kind of this like journey. And ultimately after that next come and see, I asked for an application to the community. I met with the Mother Superior and all of that. But then after that, really just didn't have a lot of peace in moving forward with it. Although I still love them. Still, like, you know, they're just so beautiful. So yeah, it's just that reality of it. Sometimes it's hard to walk through discernment when you're attracted to, you know, multiple options. And so, yeah, to be honest, it's like at this point in my life, I've just, and getting a lot of counsel from different people, you know, there comes a point where it's like you make a decision and you lay your life down, and you trust that God will use it to purify you, to make you a saint, to make you grow in love. And it's like, and he's with you in all of it. So, yeah. But so, and I dated on and off, different stuff, did Catholic Match, and it's like not a great experience, you know, just kind of this, yeah, trying to figure it out. And so, but ultimately all that to say is like, just like, Jesus, I just want to lay my life down for you and whatever that looks like, whatever vocation. Yeah, just saying yes. So, yeah. So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, beautiful, beautiful. When did you guys get engaged?
June 18th of last year. So
you knew the date, though, too, Brian.
Well,
you deferred to Katie, but you knew.
Well,
tell.
This is really cool.
Brian remembers it more
really
than I do.
Cool,
I've learned
thing
from him.
So I don't know. Anyways, so I had the ring. And I was, you know, I wouldn't say anxious, but, you know, thinking, how
maybe
am I
a little nervous.
A little nervous. How am I going to do this? And it wasn't maybe the most ideal situation, but I just thought, all right, today's the day I'm doing this. And I did. We were in the Bronx, New York, with a priest friend of ours who is awesome. And yeah, afterwards I was thinking, well, why did it play out like this, Lord? Why today? And I realized, oh, it was my mother's birthday. And my mother had passed away about 3 years ago, and Katie was there with me in that process too. And so it was really cool. And actually, my mother was able to meet and get to know Katie and just loved her. And I just kind of saw my mom looking down on me in the process, helping me, because I needed help, guys. let's be honest. Yeah. We need help. Well, we definitely need help.
Yeah.
So, right, Cam?
Yeah. Well, and the follow-up to that is, then, as we were trying to figure out a wedding date, so we settled on June 7th. I don't know why, I just kind of thought about getting married on a Friday. And then when we told his dad said that was his mom's funeral date. Yeah. So it's just kind of a nice,
you know. She's very present.
Yeah,
for sure. And she, she always valued marriage and, you know, the ideal of marriage. And so, yeah, I'm still learning what that looks like, but it's great. I think we both have great parents who valued marriage and families that valued marriage. So that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Brian O'Donnell and Katie Rice here in the cafe with us. We're talking about engagement and preparing for marriage. When did your prayers change from discerning a relationship and discerning, finding that person to praying for your life together? Mm-hmm. Thinking, going through the courtship and then leading up to the actual engagement, did it change very quickly from discerning whether or not we should be married to what will our life look like together?
Yeah.
No, it's an interesting question, because like I kind of alluded to earlier, we've had kind of this dance of like the on and off, and then, actually in some regard going our separate ways, and then really by the grace of God, things being brought back together. So I would say, like, I think probably the angle I would approach it from is, we had a lot of signs, kind of miraculous ways that God has brought us together and kept us together and brought it back together. And then I think within that, we've tried to do a lot of work on like a human level of trying to see, okay, that real discernment, because we get a lot of counsel from people where, you can almost over spiritualize things, and and really this reality that marriage is also like a very human, it's the human formation as well as the spiritual, it's the whole person.
Right.
Yeah, so there's been, I think, work within that. So I guess to answer your question as far as like the prayers changing, I think it's like, this trying to surrender to the Lord and realize like, God, please expand my mind and heart. What are the ways that I need to die in order to, make this work? And on the other hand, what are ways that I am who I am and Brian is who he is. And then how does this work together? And so in this reality that both are free, so it's this, I think, constantly before you of, are you able to lay your life down? Are you able to live with this and love this person? So again, I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but I think it's this feeling God's grace come in and the walking it out on a day-to-day basis and seeking the human formation and really doing the work within the relationship of communication and, God's vision and calling in life. So I think we've been, focused on planning the future together, doing the work that's necessary now to improve relationship on a daily basis. And then, honestly, really a lot of support from friends and family who have really helped, foster that. So, just in closing, I guess, something I've learned, is just, that no person is perfect. Only Jesus is a perfect bridegroom or spouse. But together in him and then with community, there's such a support and such a structure that really helps strengthen that. So, I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, that's really good. How about you, Brian?
For me, the prayer was, I'd say a prayer of, Lord, you have, I need a door to open here. We both, I think, we're butting heads over certain issues to the point where we thought, we don't know how this is going to work. And, but we knew we were called, we were being called together. So in essence, we needed God to open a door for us. So my prayer became, Lord, you will show us the way. You will be the one to open this door. And I think a big part of that was, you know, Katie, I was involved in ministry. And so Katie was kind of interested in ministry, but thinking, well, how is this going to work when we start a family? And then so just that continual prayer of, all right, Lord, open this door, and then continuing to see Katie as a gift in my life. And hey, it's not all about me. It's not all about this ministry, but this is entering into a new life. And then so we felt like it was a real answer to prayer when Katie was presented with an opportunity to do ministry as well. And yeah, so it was really awesome, the answer to prayer, and then to see how there is a way forward. And yeah, it's not always gonna look cookie cutter for everybody, you know. So we just had to be open to that, be open to this extraordinary life, even within marriage, that I think we felt was an answer to prayer and our heart's desire.
Yeah, because part of that, and just briefly, is because I had been telling Brian, like, I love the ministry, I love helping out every week, but I feel this call to travel and go and do some foreign mission stuff. And so part of that, Brian's like, what does that look like, 6 months, 2 years? And this is before I worked for my friend Mike. And you know, and the beautiful thing about working for Mike is he has a family as well. And so it's this, like, that rhythm is there of the family life. And we've all been friends for several years. So, yeah, just to clarify what Brian was saying about the answer to prayer, because it was like, okay, we both feel called to ministry, but kind of in different places. Yeah. And how does this work? So, yeah.
What, Brian and Katie, was there a maybe point in this process of letting go of some ideals and trying to see it from different light to see how it would work?
I just want to, I guess, just echo back to like the whole community thing, because I mean, just the reality of like the work that Brian does and, you know, where I'm stepping into, like you just can't do it alone. And so just seeing people, I think, show up over and over again to support the ministry, to bring this, to donate this, to bring life. I think I'm trying to answer your question. I kind of forget, but I think just this point of, I guess, the new vision. It's like when you're like, I don't understand how this is gonna work, God. Like God just showing up. Like there was one instance, like Brian, the missionaries were kind of gone. It was like Brian in the empty house, and it's like, how are you gonna take care of this place and like the outside and everything? And we open the door, and there's like two people who live on the streets gardening in his backyard, you know, like just doing all this work. So it honestly, it's God showing up in miraculous ways and through people. So there is this constant dependency, but I think over time God convinces you, and you, and like God's so patient with you that you have your human fears, you're looking with the eyes of men or the wisdom of men, and God over time just shows you over and over again that he's with you and he's faithful. And yeah, so through the mountains and valleys, you just see his faithfulness. And so, and I think for both of us, you know, we can both, you know, start to fall into fear or instability or providence or how's this going to work. And then ultimately it's like, yeah, this is actually crazy. But if we look with the eyes of gratitude and like, wow, look at this life, you know, you change that lens. It allows you to operate in with joy and gratitude and peace and all things. So I'm not sure, again, if that answered, but okay.
Katie Rice, Brian O'Donnell here in the cafe with us. Have you looked at it in from the perspective of it's the marriage, that's the sacrament, rather than, you know, ministry isn't a sacrament.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from the beginning of the discernment, that was really important for us both, is to realize that this is the primary vocation. And so again, we had awesome mentors. Katie's uncle, Deacon Rice, has been a good friend of mine, and he does a lot of marriage counseling, marriage prep. So that was a blessing for me, just that reality check of, all right, Brian, this is the sacrament takes precedence over this secondary vocation of that ministry you're in. And so facing that was very sobering of, okay, I'm, like Katie said, I'm laying down my life for this person in the sacrament and beginning family life. If the Lord opens up that door for ministry to still happen, great. If not, I'm open. I just want to put my focus on what it means in that sacrament, you know, so looking at the four goods of marriage and saying, do I want that?
Yeah, because we, you know, it is, it's like that, that's the covenant, that's the vow. You're not making vows or covenant with anything else. And yeah, we've, again, a lot of friends who have just given us wisdom and advice, and even unfortunately stories about marriages that have fallen apart because of ministry. You know, the whole spectrum of things that can go wrong. But well, I mean, one story was like the spouse asked the other one to give up ministry for a year, and I think they said no. And like the marriage just, you know, dissipated. And yeah. So yeah, it definitely is that, that what is the primary call and focus and vision. And again, I think that's been some of the struggle, kind of an untraditional, non-traditional story that we both have, that it's like, okay, where is the focus? And then yeah, to what degree do each of us need to grow in faith and trust in God and how it's going to happen. So but you're right, Dave, it's absolutely like, that's the call. That's the vocation. And someone said, like, I think I'm getting it wrong, but it's like your ministry is like your relationship with other people, obviously in God, but your vocation is your relationship with the Trinity. You know, it's like there's just a different focus, a different orientation and primacy in the vocation versus ministry.
You're getting some head nods from Cam on that one.
Tell us, Cam.
I in my theology degree, I wrote a lot about the sacraments, and when I was writing in the first semester of my senior year was also my season of engagement, and so a lot of my papers during that time maybe focused a bit more on the sacrament of marriage. But you're right, Katie, it's that relationship with God, right, in vocation, whether it's to the priesthood or to marriage for anybody. And I just remember really like diving into prayer with it as I was writing my papers too. So the double whammy of like, you know, sitting down for paper writing school time and starting in prayer was a beautiful process for me. But even thinking this last weekend, I was sharing at the beginning of the show, seeing my friend Ryan step into the transitional diaconate, hopefully to be ordained a priest in the Diocese of Cleveland next year, and seeing like his relationship on display, like on his face, his just the biggest smile in the world. The only thing I could liken it to is like seeing the smile on a groom's face when he sees his bride walk down the aisle, you know, and just that beautiful process of recognizing the fullness of like, this is my relationship with God. And that's a beautiful thing.
So good. So good.
Katie Rice, Brian O'Donnell here in the cafe with us. Now, you've been in the thick of wedding planning.
Oh, yeah.
For some time nearing the conclusion of that.
Uh-oh.
Head shakes. It can be really a time of stress. And how have you managed to keep things in that order where you're looking through, I guess, is maybe a better way to say it. Looking through the wedding, to the marriage.
No, it's been good. We've seen God's hand in so many ways. Of even, you know, we originally had a church and a venue, and then we actually shifted from there. Just thinking about the numbers, thinking about, you know, how many people, and every time people would ask me about wedding planning, I'm like, I have the church and venue. But anyway, my point is that we actually shifted. A different church, different venue, and then even in changing churches, the marriage prep person at this parish ended up becoming our mentor couple, and she and her husband are mentor couple. And when we had the initial meeting with her, I just felt the tangible presence of God. That's the only way I can put it. And I was like, wow. And then I emailed her after, like, would you be willing to be our mentor couple? And she's like, yeah, we never do this, but I felt the same thing. And So you just see how even, you know, delays or changes or whatever, it's like God's hand is in all of it. And so, you know, currently the invitations, I had this draft I'd worked on forever. And, you know, I actually just got back from a trip to Medjugorje, and I was like, I'll order it when I'm there. And then I get on my computer and it's like totally gone, nowhere to be found. So it's just those things. And then, yeah, just the hiccups along the way. But I think just having that peace and trust, like, okay, Lord, at the end of the day, help me to do what I need to do, or help us to do what we need to do to, like, not have it be difficult for our guests. But at the same time, being like, it's about the marriage and the sacrament. And, you know, even Cam helped me find a DJ. So it's just like using a community and resources, and just being like, yeah. And Lord, and even like people who can come or can't come, you know, let just whoever's supposed to be there. And just really praying for conversions at the wedding. It's like, okay. You know, giving the priest permission, like, don't talk about us, talk about Jesus, talk about the Lord. And so people, friends and family were coming from all different spectrums.
Yeah.
You really realize, like, this is a grand opportunity. Like the day is late, the hour is late, you know, life is short. And so here's all these people in our lives that, you know, will be coming together, and we just pray for the Holy Spirit to have permission to work and to move, and yeah, for conversions and lives to be changed. So.
Well, for me, it was just entering into the joy. And
are you in more of a support role than a planning role?
For sure. I don't have any delusions of grandeur here of thinking that I'm the one. Katie's just amazing at setting the pieces in, and I just wanted to be a support to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, also just doing my part. You know, every Monday we took time. Mm-hmm. When we got engaged, we knew that if we didn't take time out in our busy lives to be with one another, sit down and actually say, what do we want this to be like, that there would be conflict there. So that's been really good. We would sit down every Monday night the best we could and say, hey, these are your roles, and then come back together and say, all right, were you able to get this done? And so just trying to be accountable to that was helpful. And yeah, just even seeing the things that we can't do, can do, and then also seeing God show up in that, like mm-hmm. Katie said, wow, I don't know, even seeing the little details where you go, oh, God's just putting that in there. He's the mm-hmm. one who he has this beautiful party for you. Mm-hmm. And he's going to take care of all the details, even in your planning. So we've seen a lot of that as well. But again, just being accountable, just trying to envision this, what it's supposed to be like. And from the beginning, just saying, this is a time of joy and preparation. Mm-hmm. So, hey, it's not about perfection. It's about just doing what you can do and then seeing what God puts on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Have you worked with an actual wedding planner?
No. I mean, I thought about
it. I know couples that haven't. And from what I've witnessed, I mean, Carol and I didn't have a planner per se either. We had a number of people that helped. Yes. But what I've seen from the best wedding planners are really get to know the couple and then really work with them to take some of the stress and the burden off, not to say, this is my idea of a beautiful day, and, you know, I want to make this happen for you, but to really understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, no, I've definitely thought about it, like being in the process. I'm like, this is why people hire people to do this stuff. I'm like, this is like, anyway, but yeah, a lot of friends offering to help, even like, you know, I was just with a friend on Saturday. She's like, I'll remake the invitation, you know, and just a lot of support and offering to help. But I think there'll be like a coordinator the day of, mm-hmm. But we had thought about it.
To make sure Brian gets to where he needs to be, yeah, at the right time.
Yeah. And
comb my hair.
Yeah, but back in the day we had talked about that, like having someone, and then someone said, well, the church might have someone, so that, you know, you get kind of different input. Yeah. But yeah, but a lot of help from family and friends. But at the end of the day, sometimes like I just need to get this done and not procrastinate. But but yeah, but some people have skills that you don't have, or they can knock something out quickly that takes you hours or days, you know, to figure out. So, but I think it's a wonderful idea, Dave. And yeah, I'm like, I don't know what all they would do, but I'm sure they're highly helpful.
Well, I really like how you guys are intentional about setting time aside for each other, to communicate and talk things through before an issue, a small issue becomes a larger issue.
Yes. Well, really, and what I hear from all the conversation we're having is just your utter trust in the Lord. Like, okay, yeah. Well, that thing got lost, so how can we just move forward? Or, mm-hmm. okay, this has to change, so Lord, what else do you have in mind?
Yeah.
And it's really that docility and that trusting that, okay, the Lord wants this, maybe mm-hmm. even more than we want this.
Yeah.
And so what is his plan?
It's beautiful, Amanda.
And so that's been a real witness, I think, for sure, just mm-hmm. hearing your story this morning of, okay, there maybe docility is mm-hmm. a key here for sure.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead, Bri.
Yeah, I think the Lord has so many surprises for us, and we've experienced this in our own relationship when we've tried to control things.
Mm-hmm.
They can be okay, even on our best human effort. Wow, that was good. But when God shows up, mm-hmm. everybody knows, well, hey, that was God. And yeah. that's kind of how I feel about the wedding day. I know we can do what we can do. And not only the wedding day, but even beyond. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about, you know, things like looking for a house and all of these different things. And we know that our plans are great, but wow, I can't wait to see what God does. And that's kind of the approach that I think we've taken, is to be ready for that beautiful surprise. And so that's one thing I'm excited about of mm-hmm. the day of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to a friend, and he just said his wedding day was like that, you know, that you get to the moment of your wedding day and you see how there's so many things that you couldn't have done on your own that he does to make that an unforgettable moment for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Do you guys, Brian or Donald, Katie Rice with us here in the cafe, we're talking about preparing for marriage. Do you see yourself stepping into mentorship roles now from mm-hmm. what you've learned and kind of right now, share some mm-hmm. of that wisdom. So couples that are just getting engaged, moving mm-hmm. towards engagement, or mm-hmm. working through the same yeah. process, share some of your wisdom.
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is like just being not afraid to be honest about, you know, your desires, looking at all the parts of your heart. Sometimes we push stuff down like, oh, well, I shouldn't feel this way, or I shouldn't have this you know, this feeling or this thought about this thing, but really being able to be open and honest with one another and not be afraid of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard a quote that said, conflict is the price you pay for intimacy. And now granted, we don't want conflict happening all the time. That's not fun for anyone. But I think when you're able to really have honest discussions and even go, okay, we actually don't agree on this point right now, and that's okay. But when you see on the other side that things are actually better than they were before, I think that the beautiful thing about, you know, whether it's a marriage or a dating or engagement, what you learn from, doing not battle, but struggling and growing in this relationship, it overflows to all your relationships around you. And so when they talk about being like the school of love, it really, the more you grow in patience and love and understanding with one another, it flows out to your other relationships. And all of a sudden it's so much easier to love the people around you, because in faithful love, you know, it's like the rocks in a bag being, you know, sometimes like breaking off the rough edges, or being chiseled out. And this is the tool God's using to chisel off, you know, the things that he wants to prune, to take off. Just to not be afraid of entering in and knowing that, you know, God is at the center. And then also, just that human work as well of, you know, the mind, body, spirit, taking care of your whole person. And then also knowing, while the relationship is like the primary, obviously, goal, fostering other relationships around you as well, friendships, community, just having that beautiful balance that actually then feeds into the relationship as well. So that rhythm is important.
Nice. So Dave, it's a really good question, because I was just thinking about this weekend. As you know, I've shared a little bit about the parish that our ministry really sows into, St. Aloysius, and the bishop even talked about it. Hey, this parish was targeted to be closed. And I was just reflecting on that this weekend and I thought, wow, I would be open to mentoring couples. And I can't wait to see that day when there's couples walking down that aisle of St. Aloysius. And because I know that that's the foundation of society, is healthy marriages. And Katie and I both see this part of our ministry on the hilltop. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about this often as part of all the different kinds of brokenness that we see. One of the most heartbreaking is the brokenness of the family in that area. And so to be able to mentor people into healthy relationships, I think has to be at the heart of anybody's, well, for sure a parish should take that seriously. And yeah, if we don't have, we were so blessed, like Katie said, to have an amazing mentor couple who really opened us up. And also at St. Catherine's when we were there, they have so many awesome couples. And then to be at a place where you see, wow, this is really in the rebuilding phase, and to say, well, we can do all these other things. We can evangelize, we can go out and preach the gospel, but if we're not spending time discipling people and mentoring them in these, the most important thing, if the end of the day, if those people are going home and still operating in this broken way of doing family, not getting married, then what's going to happen to those, that whole culture there? So yeah, that's really been on my heart is, yeah, I've mentored people in these other phases, but hey, maybe God is calling me, Katie, or even different people in our ministry to do this. So
well, truly, your relationship will be a light, yes, in a dark world for sure. So thank you.
Yeah, and that's one more thing. We had talked about this. One of the things when we get our home, we want to make it a home for others to come in and see our life and make it a home for others.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Brian O'Donnell, Katie Rice, thanks for being in the cafe with us today. Let's pray for marriages and families today. And let's pray for Katie and Brian as they prepare their marriage. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. See you tomorrow.